Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
You know, for those that don't know, and Don will certainly know this, and Andy will appreciate this, we speak before we go on the air. We have like a full-on conversation. By the way, happy anniversary.
Oh,
it's your anniversary today.
I just love to hear you make that like every week.
Every week.
Just for all of you who don't know.
Don't know. We have like full-on conversations. I literally talk to this woman more than I talk to my wife.
Love to give you a hard time. You know that. Good morning. Don, Andy.
It is a good morning.
Yes, it is.
She's been married 11 years and still fits into her wedding dress. Right? That's pretty good. Two kids later.
Very impressive, actually.
Right.
That's not
It's like that rejoin I have with, like, you know, you put those favorite pair of jeans on and then, these aren't their favorite jeans anymore.
Suddenly it's my favorite wedding dress. It's not my favorite day.
You know, you do, but you know, with the recently I was grabbing a pair of jeans too, and I was like, I haven't put those on in a while. You know, like you just kind of wonder, you know, they're in the closet and you're not quite sure.
Yeah.
And then the realization when you do put them on and like, oh, all right, I can do this. It's not bad.
I like that they've made jeans more stretchy now, you know, like there are some really, some of that fabric.
You know, whomever invented the stretchy jean thing, that's brilliant. A good person.
Huge yeah. win for humanity.
I'd like to give them a pat on the back because that's a good one. Like you're sitting down. Oh, it is. I think that is the same person that invented the yoga pants because it kind of feels like that.
Stretchy, comfortable.
Stretchy pants.
Someone on a mission, for sure. Do you think they'll make a stretchy wedding dress? Do you think they'll ever make those?
Don't say another word, Don. You've got to get on that.
Right. Don, quick.
That's amazing.
Don, you got to go online right now and buy stretchyweddingdress.com.
I'm going to patent this. This is huge.
Just buy the URL and then somebody will give you $250,000 for it or something.
Right on.
Wait, there's a stretchy wedding dress?
It's huge.
Oh, there's that. You know, there is the famous stretchy pant line from Nacho Libre. Anyone? Yes. Do we have Nacho Libre fans? I love Nacho Libre. Andy, is that
a
go-to movie for you?
No, Don, not a go-to movie.
No, I like Nacho Libre. Jack Black and that. Is it the same director of Napoleon Dynamite? Was that the same movie makers? I think.
Chancho. Yeah. Sometimes when you are a man, you wear stretchy pants. It's for fun. I mean, that is just great.
It is great. It's a great movie. Very silly.
I just love Jack Black. Well, I missed you people. I was gone. It's kind of like I'm away from my family when I'm gone for a weekend. I'll give you the deets on later on this morning about some of the fabulous food that we made over the campfire, which was amazing. I have a very funny story about that. And I told a great joke. One of the things that we do is we sit around the fire. I was away at a hunting and camping trip, sort of camping. And there was, I think I mentioned to you that, you know, John Williams does these speed jokes, and he will sometimes send me jokes. And I told him he couldn't tell this joke. And I told the joke around the campfire, and it was a huge hit. Nice. It was like a reoccurring theme throughout the weekend.
That's awesome.
And I still can't tell the joke.
But you can tease it.
I can tease it, yeah. Anyway, that's what's coming up.
Yeah.
877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568 is our phone number. How may I help you this morning? Happy to do that. All you have to do is pick up the phone and give us a call. This is Carrie calling in this morning from New Jersey. Hi, Carrie. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Boy, Mr. Lou, am I lucky I got a hold of you this morning.
Very
happy.
That's great. How may I help you?
I got you this morning. Well, let me explain to you what's going on. I want to have a little roof work done around my chimney area. And what that means is some counter flashing around the base of the roof, around the base of the chimney. It's not a large chimney. It's a relatively small chimney, but it's a chimney squared.
Okay.
And then I've been doing some homework, and there's something called an ice and a water shield, which goes underneath it. Now, I want to do this whole assembly in copper, which I know is the best. And I've got estimates, boy, all over the planet. It used to be how many multiples of hundreds. Now it's how many multiples of thousands.
Right.
You know, and you got to get the right person up there because, like my dad always used to say, never skimp on a roof.
Your dad is a smart man.
Yeah. Oh, he was very. He was a genius. He was. He could do anything.
Yeah.
So this is where I am with this, and I want it because I've got estimates all over the place. The ice water shields doesn't go with the job of flashing and counter flashing, correct?
So
that's additional, right?
So okay. So the ice and water shield that you're speaking of is a waterproof membrane, and that's actually a brand name, ice and water shield. It's by a company called Grace. And
I'm sorry, a company called who?
Grace.
Grace. G-R-A-C-E?
Correct.
Okay.
And so that goes on under all the flashing, like connected to the roof, and it'll actually go up a little bit maybe on the chimney itself.
Uh-huh.
And in theory, when the ice and water shield is on, it would be waterproof like that, but it's not visually pleasing, okay? And so now if you want to have someone come in and do the copper, okay, and this is what's critical, is that we need to find somebody that's really good at the copper work. So, you know, back in the day, these were called tin knockers, and that's who you want to find, a really good tin knocker in the area that... I'm going to give you two sources that I'd like you to write down for you to start, and even though you have estimates all over the place, this is, Carrie, a place where you have to do your due diligence about going to see the work, okay? So, in other words, you want to do this in copper, you want it to look really nice, they have to give you some references, and you need to drive around and go look at it, right, and say, oh, that looks beautiful, that's what I want.
Yeah, but it's very hard to do that.
I understand.
Most people don't even do this in copper. They don't know anything. I do my homework.
All right, here's my question. So, what did your father say about the roof?
What?
What did your father say about a roof?
Never skimp on the roof.
Right, so you got to get behind the wheel of that car and go look at these two places or a couple places, whatever it is.
Most people do not do it in copper.
No.
They do it in the aluminum.
Right,
they do it in the aluminum.
I know, I understand that. But if you're going to hire somebody to do it in copper, they have to give you examples of where they've done it so you can go look at it. So two sources. Write this down. www.nrc...
www.
Right. nrca. Dot...
M as in Mary?
N as in Nancy. N.
Oh.
Robert... Cat, Apple, NRCA.
CA.
Dot net.
Okay.
That's the National Roofing Contractors Association. You plug in your zip code. You're going to get a list of highly qualified roofing contractors to come and do this work. The next website is www. Dot C as in cat. S as in Sam, I as in island.
Ice.
Ice. A as in apple, CSIA, .org. That's the Chimney Sweep Institute of America. And these are people that specialize in chimneys. Same thing, zip code. You'll get a listing of all the different things that they do and would be two really good sources, but you absolutely have to go look at their work, and you absolutely have to really vet these people out, because like your father said, you cannot skimp on a roof. By the way, our first caller this morning is sponsored by bathfitter.com/Lou. 877-213-4-LOU. Thank you so much for the phone call, Carrie. 877-213-4568. Let's take a quick break. And we'll be back right after this.
Lou, good morning. Thanks. Hey, I got a question for you. I'm thinking about getting a condo in Downers Grove, and I have a question on flooring. There's a drop down that goes from the dining room to the living room, about 8 inches. And I was wondering what would be the best way to eliminate that to avoid, you know, people possibly tripping or.
Oh, you want to raise the floor?
Yeah.
And let me ask, let me ask you this. So when I'm in that drop down, what's in the rest of the room? Are there windows? Are there doors?
Well, there's a patio that leads out from the living room.
Okay, so if I raise the door up, that patio door wouldn't work, correct?
Yeah. There's about a 3-inch gap below where the window starts, but that would, yeah, it would be touching.
So you just it isn't that you can't raise the floor, but you have to look at where the windowsills are and if there's a patio door. Now, I mean, for instance, if you wanted to raise the floor up and then carve out an area where you come through the patio door and you step up right there, you could do that. But quite frankly, that to me is more of a trip hazard than what you have now. You just don't like the sunken look of the room?
Well, that plus, you know, I think if I were to get the condo like that, the rest of my life I'd always be telling people to watch your step, you know?
Right. Yeah, I get it.
Do you have any flooring people that might be willing to come out and take a look at it?
It's not a flooring issue. It's a carpentry issue, right? So that is, it's more of a, you got to get a carpenter to build the subfloor first. What is the finished floor on the rest of the flooring?
I'm sorry, what's that?
What is the rest of the finished flooring like when you're up at the upper level? Is it wood?
It's the dining area. It's kind of like a cement.
Got it. Okay. So, I mean, if this is something that you want to do, what I would do is start at the National Association of the Remodeling Industry, NARI.org.
Okay.
Find a carpentry contractor. I mean, the thing here, Tom, is that, you know, you got to get the person in there to get an idea, like what it would roughly cost before you go down this path. Because,
right.
In other words, if they say, well, hey, buddy, I got to raise the patio door. Well, I don't know what that exterior wall is on the outside. Or if the condo association will let you do that, because now you're changing the look of the elevation on the outside. And they typically don't like to let you do that.
Okay.
See what I mean?
Okay.
So you may want to do this, but then you're getting back to what I originally said, is you may have to have a carve out right by the patio door, and then you're still going to say, watch your step. You're just going to move it from where the dining room is into the where the door is.
I see.
Okay. Capiche?
All right. Okay, so just go to NARI.org and type in my zip code and
find a carpentry contractor that can come in and help you at least, you know, take a look at it, maybe even from the pictures, and can do something to help you out there. Appreciate the phone call. Let's quickly get a call in here. This is Ralph on Long Island. Hey, Ralph, good morning.
Hey. Morning, Lou.
How may I help you, sir?
I want to glue two pieces of rubber together. This is it's hard rubber and it's solid. I can clamp it. It's a backpack leaf blower, and it's like motor mounts per se. But they're round, about the size of a 50-cent piece. I don't want to use the wrong glue and not be able to correct it. I've seen so many instant glues that have disappointed me over the years and such. I didn't know if you had something up your sleeve that would maybe get me through the season anyway.
You remember an old brand, Ralph, called JB Weld?
Oh, certainly, yeah.
Yeah, so go find, now they make a full line of glues, and I believe they make a glue called Plastic Bond, and it is specifically designed for plastic and rubber. And you'll put a little bead on there, you'll clamp it, give it 24 hours, although I think the set time is like 20 minutes, but I would go 24 hours clamped, and I bet you it'll last you more than the season. And you can find the JB Weld, if you go, maybe go to their website and you'll find the specific product. Some of the big boxes, definitely some of the hardware stores have that as well.
I'm sure I'm going to check that out today. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
You got it, Ralph. I appreciate you calling this morning as well. By the way, speaking of Long Island, I know we got to take a quick break in a second, but My business partner, Frank DeGioia, who's my partner in all things house smarts, his son Greg and beautiful wife-to-be Francesca are getting married on your anniversary today, so on Long Island. So congratulations to the bride and groom and to Frank and Joanne and the entire family. It's a lovely festive occasion. Marriage, I highly recommend it.
And a great date. Congratulations.
Great date. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back. So my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law moved out to California, and our daughter Carmen was helping to sell some furniture for them. And the one thing that she couldn't sell is a china cabinet. Nobody wants a china cabinet. You can't even donate a china cabinet.
Him. He started on the china.
Okay. Well, anyway, you young kids getting married, Greg and Francesca are getting married today. Don't get china and don't buy a china cabinet because you'll be stuck with it. So anyway, round and round, poor Carmen is out of her mind. And so we ended up putting the china cabinet in my father-in-law's garage, which is driving him crazy. So his birthday, we'll talk later, is today also. Awesome. And so for his birthday, we're like, we're going to go get the china cabinet out of your thing, right? And we're trying to coordinate, you know, we're going to get a truck and whatever. And I called a couple of organizations that, you know, that donate furniture to people in need. And they're like, yeah, we don't take china cabinets. We don't take mattresses and box springs and china cabinets. I called, like, you know, and my daughter Carmen had done the same thing. She's like, Dad, nobody takes china cabinets. But of course, I don't believe my adult daughter. And so I go, why don't we just call one of those, like 1-800-GOT-JUNK. I've used them before in rental properties, right? Mary Beth goes, fine. We're driving. She calls. Are you a return customer? Oh, yeah, but it's been a few years, you know, that we've done this. Okay, let me look up your phone number. Oh, yeah, you are. And so we called at 11:30 in the morning. They were in the neighborhood. They were there by 1:30. The guy calls, say, yeah, I'm here. You know, and my father-in-law's a little older. We're like, okay, can you go pull down the alley? And go, oh, yeah, no problem. We're here in the alley. Boom, bang, bing. Paid the guy. Wow. We got $50 off because we were a repeat customer. It was like the most painless thing ever. This is an unsolicited 1-800-GOT-JUNK commercial.
That's awesome.
I know. Nobody wants a china cabinet. Don't buy one. And if you're
to pay somebody to come and take
the
china
you're
cabinet.
Paying I'm for sure the china cabinet.
Beautiful china
cabinet. It was beautiful. And it weighed like 5,000 pounds.
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable. That's awesome. That's my public service announcement for today.
Way to go.
Thank you. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568. If I had another child, I would name the child Bubba. Bubba, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm well. Have you had that name your whole life?
Pardon me?
Have you had your name Bubba your whole life?
Most of it, about 30 of my 58 years.
Then you are Bubba. How may I help you, Bubba?
I have a musky odor coming from my basement, especially like this time of year. I have a feeling it's coming from the crock, the sump crock.
Okay.
How can I eliminate that?
So, and it's a sump pump pit, right? So it's not sealed. It's just an open lid?
Open lid, yep.
Okay. Unplug the sump pump and then take the lid off and pour a little pine salt down in there and scrub the sidewalls of the pit, okay? And really kind of get that as clean as possible. Do you have any way to get fresh air into the basement at all? You have any windows or anything?
Yeah, very small windows.
Okay.
The ones that they got like a handle and you move it to the side and then they just flop open, you know, on a top of hinge.
Right.
The house is built in 1958. So.
Yeah, and you're calling from Michigan, so you know this. As we're transitioning from the summer to the winter, the house is holding on to a lot of humidity, and so it would if you could move some air down there, literally buy a $20 box fan and put it down in there, and and if you can open up a window before it gets too cold, clean that sump pump pit. I think you'll really find that that should help solve the issue for you.
Okay, thanks. Hey, one other quick question. I just had some paneling put up, and there's a couple of sheets that the adhesive didn't take hold. Can I pull a couple, pull it, apart at the seam. I got all the trim and everything on the carpet. Can I peel apart at the seam and spray some kind of adhesive in there?
Not spray. I need something with a little bit more body. If there's, are these small areas like the size of a paint can?
Yeah, maybe a little. It's actually a little bigger than that.
Okay, and did they use any fasteners too, or did they just glue it?
I believe they just glued it.
Okay. There's Liquid Nails makes, actually, you know what would work great? There's a caulking adhesive that I really like called Lexel. L-E-X-E-L. It's clear, okay? And it comes in either a caulk tube or a squeeze tube. Peel back what you can, shove the nozzle of it in there, give it a couple of squirts so that we build up the body. Then we got to push it in, and you got to somehow wedge something against there to hold some pressure on it overnight. Okay?
Right, okay.
So maybe like, if you had a 2x4 or something, put a rag on the end of it and then something on the ground and just laid it on there with some weight just to push on it, that should hold it. That should hold it no problem.
Okay. That works for me. Thank you.
You got it, bud. I appreciate you calling this morning. 877-734-LOU is our phone number. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this. Hello, Henry?
Yeah, this is him.
Hi there.
Hey, great program, by the way.
Thank you, sir.
I'm calling from Marengo, but I'm calling for my daughter on Sealy in Chicago.
Okay.
She has an Oasis Whirlpool bath, and the bottom jets won't work. We checked the power panel, and the breaker is working. It's okay. She tripped it, untripped it. But here's what we need. The panels, which are at least 18 by 18, are grouted in. It's not just a slide-out panel to get underneath to do the problem. So we have to cut the grout out to get the panel out, and we don't want to break that panel, of course.
Right.
So we need advice about...
Okay, wait. One second. The bottom jets don't work, but the top jets do?
No, just the bottom. None of the jets work.
Got it. And so you get no power. You don't hear any motor running or anything.
No, we don't have any power. Water's good, but no power from the breakers. When we tripped them in that, there is power to there.
Right, and so is the breaker a GFCI breaker or is it a regular breaker?
I don't know because I'm at home in Marengo.
Got it. Okay. So for the grout, that's crazy that they grouted those panels, since it's probably a fiberglass tub, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I would do this by hand. There's a grout removal tool that kind of looks like a heavy duty toothbrush with, cause it's not very deep, whatever's holding it in place. And you're going to work around it like you're picture framing or going around and around and around to loosen up the grout, and those panels should just pop off. They shouldn't be grouted in place or glued in place by any means. And so I would do that. My guess is if the breakers are the same, when you look at the panel, if the breakers look like the rest of the breakers, there's a GFCI receptacle underneath that panel that's either tripped or failed.
Yes, that's what we think is the problem, but we've got to get the panel off.
Right, right. So I would use a grout removal tool, like I mentioned, by hand so that you don't damage it. I wouldn't use a tool there because if you use something like a multi-tool, though they're very easy to control, they can slip. And if they slip, that rigid acrylic that a panel's made out of will break for sure, and you don't want that. Thanks so much for the phone call. This is Jeannie calling in from New York City. Hi, Jeannie.
Hello. How are you today?
I am well. How may I help you this morning?
I'm so glad to speak with you. Well, I have an odor in my apartment, and I can't identify it, and I'd like to get rid of it. It's very permeating. A lot of other people smell it. I don't smell it, but they do, and it annoys them. It could be there is a moldy wall in the living room with that white fuzzy stuff, but what I'm talking about is in the rest of the apartment. I do have two cats. And there is a little bit of a problem in the bathroom. There's a hole above the in the ceiling above where the toilet is, and it drips a little bit of water, but it's not terribly a bad drip. So I don't
wait,
know
wait, 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 wait,
condensation wait. Or something like that.
Is there an apartment above you?
Yeah, from the apartment above me. I will have the super come in, but I really want to get rid of the odors as much as possible. What can I use? Is there a filter or?
Well, okay, a couple things. The leak up above could be the source of the odor, where if that's been going on for a while, there could be mildew and mold there. And that odor can be permeating throughout the apartment.
Uh-huh. So, what did you say? The first part of the sentence, there's something bars, did you say?
The apartment above, if it's leaking.
Oh, above me. Uh-huh.
Okay, so that's leaking, and that constant leak that you say it's happening could be the source of the odor. Now, uh-huh. I would have the super come in and probably open that ceiling up if you know, they say, oh, we'll just patch it up. You know, it'll be fine. Don't worry, Jeannie.
Yeah, they always like to do that. Just patch
correct.
Stuff. Yeah.
There's probably mildew and mold behind that ceiling that needs to be addressed. What I would do in the uh-huh. short and look, just because it's mildew or mold doesn't mean that it's dangerous. You know, there's like 1,100 different strains of mold. But there's only like 10 or 11 of them that are really bad for you, right? So my point is it needs to be taken care of. In the short run, I want you to go to the hardware store or the home center and buy a bottle of Concrobium Mold Control.
Concrobium, C-O-N?
Con, C-O-N.
Mm-hmm.
I should just have that spelled. You know how I have notes for myself? And they should be like the sponsor of the show all the time. Con, hold on, I'm going to crow B.
C-R-O.
Okay, C-O-N-C-R-O-B-I-U-M.
Concrobium.
Concrobium.
Okay.
Now you spell Mississippi. I'm kidding.
Two S's,
okay,
I think.
Right, I know. So then what I want you to do is where that hole is temporarily, I want you to go and squirt up in that hole. It will start to kill when mold. Your very first step here, Jeannie, is we got to open up that ceiling and find out what's going on. The white fuzzy stuff that you see in other places could be mold also due to moisture.
Yes,
spray it with that as well. It will kill the mold. It's not an odor killer, but it's a mold killer. It is safe to use. They hate that I say this, but you could drink it. You wouldn't like how it tastes, but it's that safe.
So
you're going to spray it all. You're going to get that mm-hmm. good-for-nothing super to come and open up that ceiling
mm-hmm.
and then have them fix it all so that we don't have this problem. I think you have a mildew and mold issue, and left unattended, it could get worse. Thanks so much for the phone call. We need to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
To most, it's just another sidewalk or parking lot. But to Robert R. Andreas & Sons, it's a work of art, perfectly paved with attention to detail. Andreas & Sons, a family-owned Chicagoland business with the experience to handle any job. Patios, stairs, foundations, driveways, loading docks, warehouse floors. Andreas & Sons does it all. Commercial, industrial, or residential. If your project requires concrete or asphalt, then you need to contact the experts. Andreas & Sons. For a free estimate, call 708-863-5735. That's 708-863-5735. Or just visit andreasconstruction.com. Robert R. Andreas & Sons, general contractors specializing in high-quality professional concrete and asphalt solutions since 1956. Call 708-863-5735. That's 708-863-5735. Or visit andreasconstruction.com.
Do you have trouble with daily activities due to a visual impairment? Here is a remarkable device that reads text out loud and more. The Orcam MyEye. I'm John Williams. I've used this amazing device. The Orcam MyEye is the size of a finger. It attaches to the side of any eyeglasses. MyEye's tiny smart camera takes a picture and speaks to you the information that you want. It can help you read printed and digital text. For example, you can ask it to just read read the headlines in the morning paper. It will identify products so you can shop on your own. It recognizes faces. I looked at a friend while wearing the My Eye, and it said, Wendy. It even recognizes denominations of money. It does not need Wi-Fi. Financing is available, and you can save when you use the promo code WGN. Call 1-800-641-2808 or click on orcam.com. Use the promo code WGN. Call 1-800-641-2808 or click on orcam.com.
That old car is worth money. Visit victoryautowreckers.com for an instant quote. victoryautowreckers.com.
victoryautowreckers.com.
Lou is taking more of your calls right here on House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN.
Hey everybody, my name is Jack Arnold, owner of Arnold Electric, Chicago's old home electrical experts. With fall and winter approaching, we want to help you with your roof and gutter heating cables, electric baseboard heating projects, and fixing your outside outlets for the holidays by giving you $100 off any of these projects. Visit ArnoldElectricChicago.com today or call 773-694-2088. That's 773-694-2088.
Alexander Lumber knows lumber, naturally, but they also know house wrap and flashings and siding and soffits, windows and doors. Soffits, is that, do you know what a soffit is just because you've worked with me? A lot of people are always like, what's a soffit? I'm so funny that nobody knows what that word is. Well, they know so much. Alexander Lumber offers high quality materials and tools selected specifically with builders and remodelers in mind, including master brand cabinets for your dream kitchen. Stop in today and speak with one of their designers, or you can Zoom them for your free consultation. They have the latest software to provide realistic visuals and solutions tailored to your budget. Find Alexander Lumber in Chicago, Central Illinois, and Wisconsin. Start at alexlbr.com. That's alexlbr.com. 877-2134-LOU is our phone number. You know, Halloween decorations are just far and few between because of the crazy, you know, supply chain issue. And by the way, was anybody else surprised that the ports in California were not already running 24/7?
Yeah. That is kind of strange.
Hey, we're going to go 20. Okay, hey, Jimmy, see you tomorrow. Yeah, okay, you guys out in the water. We'll
just
see you tomorrow.
Yeah, hang out out there.
Who doesn't want the overtime, for crying out loud?
So
I mean,
bizarre.
Come on.
Especially with these stoppages and stuff. They just thought, like, oh, yeah, maybe we'll run it 24/7 now.
It's the craziest thing. So, I mean, this is just, I put my retailer hat on, like with the Halloween decorations and Christmas as well. This stuff's all dribbling in. And when you go to a store to look at this stuff, if you're like, huh, I got to remember to buy Christmas lights. If you see them, buy them, because most stores won't get any more. Right? And so I wouldn't wait, just so you're prepared for that as well.
Good tip.
That's
good tip.
It's very good. Pro tip there. Pro tip for you, everybody.
once that Christmas music starts playing, people are snapping those up.
Oh, for sure. 100%. Andy, we got the Bears and the Packers this weekend.
Yes.
I guess I need some advice. So my daughter Carmen is dating this young man, lovely man, Liam is his name, and something went wrong. He's from Florida, but he's a Packer fan.
Ah, he's got front runner-itis.
It sounds like he's been a Packer fan for a while, but now we are all going to be together, and I want to be respectful to my daughter, while we're watching the game, but I'm not. You know, I am not going to be happy when he stands up and is like, "Yay, Rodgers!" Right? And
can't you like rig something with a buzzer or something that'll give him a real quick shock if he stands up?
I have the invisible fence. I could put the collar on him maybe without him knowing, like around his ankle.
Just bring out the cheese grater. You'll be okay.
Make him watch it downstairs.
What I mean, here's the thing. Here's the kind of the two things that I've learned in my age of watching the NFL. There are certain players you never bet against.
Mm-hmm.
One would be Tom Brady, for sure. And I'd never bet against Aaron Rodgers. While I don't like the Packers at all, I have always been a fan of the game that Aaron Rodgers plays. He is just calm, cool, and collected and is so good.
Yeah, Kleppen is shaking his head because that's his guy. I know, it's
just, silently, you know, but enthusiastically shaking my head.
And the worst part about it, my fantasy football team this year, we were just talking about this, I had to do an auto draft because I had a previous engagement the night that the draft was going on.
Oh, and that was killing you.
And I've got Aaron Rodgers.
Man.
What do I do?
You're just conflicted, stuck in a spot. Now.
I mean, I got to play him. He's better than the other quarterback I have.
Right.
I mean, I got to play him.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Andy, it's strictly a business decision.
It is a business decision, yes. This is for pride and everything else.
Everybody, this is business. I mean, it's
don't
not personal.
It, right. Don't take it personally.
Right.
I mean, I hope he does well, but I hope the team loses. You know, that's, you know, hope his team loses.
And that's the fantasy, like, equation, basically. Yeah. You can usually brood like that.
Hey, throw for 6 touchdowns. As long as the other guy throws for 7, we're good.
Right on.
Is it me, too, also, but there have been some spectacular NFL games, like
amazing.
Down to the wire, right? Like, I was out of town last weekend, but didn't the Packers win in, like, triple overtime?
Yeah, well, it was late in overtime against the Bengals. The Bengals have had 2 games that have gone to overtime. They had their opener at home was against the Vikings that went to overtime as well. And we saw a display unlike any other display I've seen. I thought I was watching a college football game with the kickers missing field goals.
It was unbelievable.
My God.
There was
crazy.
Like 5 missed kicks. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, and Crosby, who has been in the league a long time, is almost Mr. Automatic. Yeah.
Right, right.
He
very
was Mr.
Unexpected.
Automatic wide left in that game.
4 or 5.
It was absurd. Like, you just he'd keep lining it up, and it was like you thought you were stuck in some kind of Twilight Zone thing. It was bizarre.
Like, we thought something was wrong with the goalposts.
Right,
I mean,
right.
I don't get into football, but I... Even all of us were just like,
yeah.
There's something wrong with the goalposts.
And then Cincinnati's kicker missed it twice.
Yeah, I've never seen this happen, by the way. You know, though, they have those little flags on top of the goalpost to tell you which way the wind is blowing?
Sure.
The Bengals kicker hit the flag.
Yeah.
And thought he had gotten the field goal through, but it was actually outside the post. But it hit the flag. You can't do that again.
Yeah. No, not if you tried.
Well, Cody Parkey could.
Well, he would doink it first.
That's right.
All right. Well, I will. Andy, while I'm watching the game, I'll think about how well Aaron Rodgers is doing. I'm like, well, Andy's happy and Don is happy.
Yeah. Yeah. And as long as Fields plays better, it's all good.
Right. Should be a good game. Be fun.
It should be fun.
Yeah,
it should
definitely.
Be fun. All right. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568. We're broadcasting live from the PermaSeal Foundation Repair Studios. How about the next caller, Lindsay? We give a House Smarts Radio hat to, sponsored by Cobblestone Remodeling. Whether you're renovating your kitchen or your bathroom, Cobblestone Remodeling's team of award-winning designers can help create your vision. Visit cobblestoneremodeling.com or call 773-661-0606. We'll send that hat out to Craig, who's in Arlington Heights. Craig, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio. Oh, I hear him. Hey, Craig.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
How may I help you, sir?
How are you?
Good, good, good.
All right. So I've noticed over the past couple of years that in my basement, which is unfinished, that I have little mounds of dirt around the perimeter. And my wife and I were actually getting a radon mitigation system installed on Monday. So we've been kind of really cleaning out the basement.
Good.
And I noticed that these little mounds of dirt are actually grout or the mortar from between the sill plate and the basement foundation. And it's dried to the point where it's actually cracking and breaking away. And I just, since everything's removed from the perimeter because that's where the mitigation guys need to get to, I want to just replace that mortar. And just curious of what your thoughts are and what the best way to replace that mortar between the sill plate and the foundation.
So when you're looking at that now you can see that the foundation wall is concrete, yes?
Right.
And yep. And you've got a bottom sill plate, a piece of wood that's just on the concrete, and there's appears to be some sort of grouting, just almost like a weather stripping. Because that's old school.
Correct.
How old is the house?
It was built in 1970.
Huh. Okay. That is nothing but a wind block.
All right.
Okay, so it doesn't need to be grout. It can be caulk.
All right.
Go ahead and it serves no purpose other than to keep, you know, bugs or any kind of wind out there.
Right.
When you pull that out, do you happen to see if there's any like a little insulation under the where the wood meets the concrete or no? It seems like it's flat against it.
I haven't really ever pulled it out.
The grouting?
Like, I've always just vacuumed up little mounds of dirt on the ground and
got it.
Thought it was ants kind of tearing away at it. But yesterday when we were kind of moving things inward from the perimeter,
sure,
I noticed that it actually broke off in like 2-3-4-inch strips. And that's the first time I actually ever...
I mean, so depending on how severe your OCD is, and I mean that lovingly, you know, as you if you peel a couple pieces away and all of a sudden you get in your head like, I'm just going to take it all out and I'm going to caulk it all. You know,
exactly what happened.
All right, I know who you are, buddy. And so you're going to remove it all, right? So now you have a fairly clean line between the wood and the concrete, correct?
Right.
Okay, make sure it's as clean and dust-free as possible. And the issue probably is that you can't get a caulk gun in there on an angle to get it in there, correct?
You know, I haven't tried. I was actually heading out to the hardware store when I heard your show on, and the caller before the last one had a question about his sump pump or basement, and
right,
just popped in my mind to give you a
good
call.
I like that. I like that. Well, see, my point is you may not be able to, depending on, so I guess let me ask you this. So you've got the concrete wall, on top of that, you have the bottom sill plate that's sitting on the concrete. And then are the floor joists right on top of that board coming into the room?
Yeah.
And then how close is the wood to the inside plane of the wall?
I would say...
Is it flush or is it in?
An inch. I would say it's probably in without an inch.
Okay, well then, if it's in about an inch, you probably could get a couple of tubes of... Look, all you need to use... If you're going to run to the hardware store, and let me ask you this, how many lineal feet do you think you have?
It's probably maybe exterior-wise, probably 7. I'd say the one wall is a full basement next to, I have a split-level house, so okay, like the one wall would be a sub-basement. So I would say probably 75 to 100 feet of exterior
right
wall.
Buy four tubes, and if you don't use them all, you can always bring them back. Buy four right tubes of a clear caulking that's super sticky called Lexel. They're another one that should be a sponsor of the show. Is this thing on? Are you hearing this? Lexel. And buy four tubes of that and a caulk gun, and it's sticky. You can wash it off your hands, though. Squirt it in there. Use your finger to tool it so it gets into the joints, and you're good to go.
Perfect. Yeah, excellent. So I appreciate it. It's, you know, when I first saw these little mounds of dirt, I always thought it was, you know, spiders or ants or something
right
working their way into the house. And
right
then, like I said, since everything's kind of cleaned up right now.
That's awesome. Yeah, this is a great time to do it. It'll make you happy, it'll make your wife happy, and it'll help seal out air infiltration and bugs too. It'll do a really nice job. I really appreciate the phone call. It's 7:23 in the morning. You're listening to me. My name's Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. I don't want to give too much away, but John Williams, you know, was on a trip this past week, and he may bring this up on his show too, but I laughed out loud when he says this. I said, "Hey, how was the trip?" You know, he was gone for a while. He was on like a riverboat cruise. And he said, it was really, really, really fun. It was a lot of work, he said. He goes, I am now an expert on European COVID compliance and white wine. We'll be right back. Mark, how can I help you? Just so we're clear, it says Mike, but go ahead. Your name is Mark.
Mark, yeah. I have some old cars that I'm storing, some classic cars in a
what
garage.
What time do you want me to come over to view them? Because it's my favorite thing in the world.
Anytime.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
You're welcome anytime. And I'm trying to prevent mice from chewing on the wiring. It's an older garage, and it has some holes in it. And I'm talking to some people, and they were saying you have to be careful because mice can. It's not a used garage. It's storage.
I got the stuff for you. You're going to go to the hardware store and you're going to buy maybe how many cars?
Four.
Okay, you're going to buy four boxes of something called Fresh Cab.
Fresh Cab. Okay.
They're these little sachets that smell fine. Sachets. I can never, I'm always, when I say, I don't know, is it sachets or sachets? And I always question myself what it is. They're sachets.
Sachets sounds more sophisticated.
Thank you.
Very, thank you.
Thank you, Mike. I mean, Mark.
Mark.
Okay, so you're going to take these, and then, you know, I want you to open up the hood of the car and, or, yeah, actually, open up the hood of the car. Get some, what are those filed, those binder clips, you know, or if you've got any small, like, spring clamps?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're going to hang them at the lower end of the car, wherever you're super concerned where this is going to happen. Okay. And now, do you go and check on the cars occasionally?
In the wintertime, not so much.
Yeah, so this the sachets, very sophisticated, that odor will last about 30 to 45 days.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, we both know how expensive it is if they get in that wiring, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, if you go buy this stuff and you hang it, this really will almost guarantee that it's going to, I mean, I'm not going to guarantee it, but it works. Okay, this was designed specifically when farmers would leave their tractors out in the fields when they were harvesting, and they'd throw it in the cab because the field mice would get up there and do the same thing. You know, these guys are working; they can't get out there and have all the wiring chewed up by the mice.
Now I know what cab refers to. I was thinking of a taxi cab, but you're talking about the cab of a tractor.
Correct,
or
correct.
Gotcha,
it's
okay.
Really good stuff. It's made by this woman, this lovely woman in North Dakota, South Dakota. She's, you know, has all these different products, but it really does work. Hang it on that wiring, and this is good for even people like, you know, I got squirrels eating my wires in my driveway. Same type of thing. It will work.
Super duper.
Thank you, Mark.
Have a good day. Thank you.
Friends call him Mike. It's 7:31 in the morning. You're listening to House Smarts Radio. Hey, when we come back, we have a noodaloo, too. All I'm going to say is it's like salad tongs for your lawn and garden. We'll be right back. Fall is here, right? We're going to be cleaning up the leaves, and a lot of us are using those paper bags or however you bag your leaves, whatever you do. The bending over and picking them up can be a huge pain in the patootie. This is really going to help you. Take a listen.
Autumn colors sure look good up there in the trees, but not so good when they land all over your yard. But if you want a healthy lawn come spring, those leaves need to be cleaned up. Leaving those fallen leaves on your lawn won't let the sun get to the grass and then can result in mold, bacteria, pests, and weed seeds.
Ow!
So whether you mulch or bag your leaves, chances are you're going to need one of those simple-to-use, life-saving tools we like to call a rake. The same tool that can also break your back. All that bending over and picking up. But this week's new Tulu 2 makes your yard work easier. That's right. The ultimate leaf lifter enables you to pick up big amounts of leaves with a teeny tiny effort. Similar to a giant set of salad tongs, the ultimate leaf lifter scoops up your leaves without bending over and picks up more leaves with less effort. The rake scoop triangle shaped design will help you place the leaves into the bag, and its short tines will enable you to scrape up every last leaf. And still, no bending. The Ultimate Leaf Lifter's lightweight, non-corrosive aluminum and plastic assembly weighs in at just over 2.5 pounds and rings in at $53.95. You can see just how it works on their website. For more information, visit HouseSmartsRadio.com.
That's our new music. That's our new music, too, right? That's our... I like this thing. It's essentially... What do you mean?
We love the new music. We're going to play it again. You're going to play it twice.
I loved it so much, I wanted to do it again. Imagine two rakes with a pivot point and a handle, but it's 90 degrees. So you're standing there, and exactly what you said, salad tongs, and you can pick it up, lean it, pop it in, and go. It's great for people that have mobility issues, or if you have a large yard and you got to pick it all up and put it in there, that's a huge deal. If you go to HouseSmartsRadio.com, you can see it there as well as links on where you can purchase and all that good stuff as well. That's our Noodaloo 2 for today. 877-213-4LOO. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. This is Dennis in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Hey, Dennis.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Oh, I love it. Beep, Hi. Beep. How you doing?
Pretty good.
I got the previous episode you had provided information about making a toilet flush better. I'm curious if I were to drain all the water, tank, and bowl, and then pour CLR clear into the bowl and let the chemical do the work, am I going to create another problem with maybe the wax ring or just elsewhere? Don't do that. Or
well, you won't create a problem. That's for sure. But I will tell you that if you're having issues with the toilet flushing, like not having enough power, you could do that. But then I would want you to take my advice has always been to take a metal hanger, like a coat hanger, and take it apart. And then the holes that are underneath the rim of the toilet, 90% of the time when your toilet doesn't flush, those holes are corroded with calcium buildup, and they're just not allowing enough volume of water to get into the toilet to allow the swirling action to help it flush. And so if you did the CLR thing overnight and let the chemical do its job, then the next morning you went in there and you scrubbed like a dentist, right, those holes, scrub it all out, I think that you would have super success with that for sure.
And those holes are located in the bowl or in the tank?
Under the bowl.
Yes, okay, I'm with you.
Under the bowl.
Okay.
And so, you know, what's helpful is if you have a hand mirror, something like that, you can see the holes, you know, you can kind of place it in there and then, oh, there it is, and kind of scrape and, you know, scrape it out. You'll be amazed at how much you get out of there. But if you, again, let the chemical overnight do, you know, if you're going to pour it in there, then flush a little bit to get some of the mixture into the rim of it and just let that sit for overnight.
Okay, great. Yes, I was hoping the lazy route without... You know what? You had the identical information you had with.
Well,
the mirror.
I understand. I understand. It's. I promise you, it's not a lot of work, and it'll be done pretty quickly.
Okay.
And if you do the, the chemical first, it'll make the scraping a whole heck of a lot easier. That's for sure. Thanks so much for the phone call. Oh, by the way, you know, I should have said a big thank you to Lisa Dent, who filled in last week on HouseSmarts Radio. Thank you so much, Lisa. And for doing that, it was nice to take a weekend off. And but you know, what's funny is that I really had a great time. I'll talk a little bit about the trip a little bit later on. But Mike Holmes from Creative Carpentry was with Lisa, as well as Jim Sullivan with Tate Enterprises. I miss all you people. Like, I miss talking to you when I'm like, oh, gosh, I'm gonna have so much to say, right?
And, really?
I know, it's really hard. And so anyway, thank you to all who jumped in last weekend.
Definitely.
I really do appreciate it. Yeah, you took the Saturday off too, which is nice.
Did you sleep in, by the way?
Till 7. I mean, I woke up at 4:50.
Right.
Ready to
I
go.
Did too. I mean, when I'm ready,
and I, like, I didn't realize where I was. I was in an RV. And then which was the bed was really comfortable. Yeah, and then I slept till 7. It was great. All right, 7:45 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be right back.
How you doing, Lou?
I'm doing well.
My wife and I are interested in having our ducts cleaned. It's been a number of years, and the company that did it before, the gentleman retired. So I was wondering if you had any thoughts on what we should look for and possibly any suggestions on duct cleaning company.
Well, I don't want you hiring anybody that says they're going to do it for $99.
Okay, I kind of figured that. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you did, but a lot of times people are like, "Oh, it's $99." I mean, it costs that much nowadays. It costs that much in gas just for the truck to get there.
Right.
You know who's really good at this, but they don't go to Lake Zurich. Is the folks at Dykstra Home Services, and so they use. So this is what you're going to look for. I'm trying to think of who's up that way that I know that does. That does it up north there. You could try, you might be out of their service area too, but Perfect Home Services, they're a heating and cooling company that you hear on this station. They're very good, and they may have, they may come out there, but they're going to not only use a vacuum, Rick, they're going to use a whip that is, on a flexible rod and an air compressor to kind of loosen up the you know, and kind of bang around inside the ductwork as well to loosen up any debris. This is something I think you should do every 7 years or so. It's not a bad idea. you know, seven years, 10 years maybe. And using good filters is the key too, especially after you initially do this. When you initially do this, I'd put, do you have just a traditional slot for regular furnace filters?
No, I have one of those April Air.
Oh, like a whole house?
Filters. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and do you replace that filter yourself?
Yeah.
Okay. So when you get this done, don't put a new filter in right away. Keep that old filter in there for, you know, now that you're getting into the heating season, for about 2 or 3 days to catch any, you know, debris so that the old filter does all the work of the rush of the stuff there. And then maybe two days, maybe 2 days once it's running, and then put the new filter in and go from there. But that's what you're looking for. Not just somebody that says, oh, we're going to put a vacuum there and we'll vacuum out the vents and that kind of stuff. I need them to put a whip down each one of the runs to loosen up all the debris inside the ductwork.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll check with Perfect Home Services, and then at least if I'm looking for other outfits, which there are quite a few,
oh,
I'll
yeah.
know what to look for.
Yeah, for sure. Good luck. I appreciate you calling this morning. I good luck with that project. 877-213-4-LOU. This is Karen in Hinsdale. Hi, Karen. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi. How are you?
I am fantastic. What's going on?
Well, first of all, thank you for the tip on the fresh cab, because we have a very small little fishing boat up in a garage in Door County that I'm going to put those into so we don't lose the wires to some mice up there.
Oh, yeah. That, it's really good for that, too.
I have a bedroom that was painted many years ago, and it was painted a pink. And the painter, I wanted it striped. And so what he did is he left part of it, the regular paint, but then every other, say, like 6 inches, he striped on a coat of varnish. So it's dull, shiny, dull, shiny, dull, shiny.
Okay.
Now I want to paint it. Do I have to scrape sand it, or can I just prime it?
You know that it was varnish that he used, or shellac?
It could be shellac. I don't know, and I can't ask him because he's no longer living. So
We're coming up on Halloween. You could get like the Ouija board. No, okay.
Yeah.
I'm just joking. God bless the painters that have gone before us. I would like you to sand it a little bit.
Okay.
So, how big is the room?
It's 12 by 13.
Okay. So, how about you get? You could do it with a sponge sander, but they make a wall sander that has a pole on it. That would make your life a lot easier.
Yeah.
Put a piece of sandpaper or a screen. They make the sanding screens. And then go to town and get it as smooth as possible. Then I want you to prime it. You don't have to prime everything, but I'd like you to prime the stripes at least. By the time you do that, you might as well prime the whole wall.
I'll just do the whole room.
So do the whole room and prime it so you get something nice, you know, to bond with everything. Let that primer dry. Benjamin Moore makes a really good primer called Fresh Start.
Okay.
And so does Zinsser makes a really good primer.
I used theirs before.
It's just smelly, but it works really well.
Yeah.
And then a paint and primer in one, and you can paint it whatever color you want.
Okay. What grit on the sandy, or is the sanding screen only come in one?
No,
grit,
get like a... probably like an 80 grit. Nothing super nothing super aggressive, but that should work.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I was afraid I'd have to sand it. That's why I thought I'd call you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't think I can get it with just priming.
No,
it.
No. That's a good one.
Off that black. Okay.
You got it.
All right.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. I mentioned that I was up on this fishing trip. Not a fishing trip. It was like a hunting trap shooting trip that we... My friends Mike and Mike Jakubowski and his brother Tony have done this. They kind of picked up the baton from their father who did this. It's like a father-son thing. It's great. We had a bunch of group of guys up there, which is great. I didn't get to go last year. And we make unbelievable food around the campfire. I shared this with Lindsay. Like, at one point, we made homemade naan, which I didn't even know what that was. Homemade. There.
Wow.
Rolled it out on the table with wine bottles. Yeah, we had wine.
Oh, that's right.
And then cooked it on the open fire on the cast iron griddle. Okay. The thing was, is that we went, so one day we went trap shooting. They have all these, this resort that we were at where I rented an RV for the first time and drove up there like Cousin Eddie. And it was fabulous and slept in the RV. You know, it was great. And you would think that after driving one, I would buy one, but I'm always going to rent it. Even Mary Beth said, yeah, you did the right thing. You rented it. I'm just going to rent them all the time. It's great. You know, and I was super intrigued by how you empty it all out. That's a whole nother story. Anyway, we come back from trap shooting and our friend Jim had like the tripod thing over the fire with the cast iron pot and this unbelievable smell, this lovely smell. He's making a stew over the top. And he looked like Cookie, like on some Western, like we're out there, you know, moving cattle. And we're like, hey, Cookie, what do you got cooking? You know? And he's stirring the pot and the smell is just unbelievably delicious. And he goes, I made squirrel stew.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to tell you, it smelled fantastic. But I just can't get past eating a rodent. Right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Remember the caller with the lady with the squirrel that jumped on the screen and peeked through the screen? Like, that is immediately went in my head. I go, I'm good. I'm good. It smells fantastic.
I can't even. My mom tricked me once, and I think she maybe. It was either squirrel or rabbit. Oh. I can't. And she's like, it's chicken. I'm like, mom. Then I've never eaten meat again.
At that point, I almost went vegetarian. I really did. 877-213-4-LOU, broadcasting live from the PermaSeal Foundation Repair Studios. We'll be right back. Quick thing, you know, we got Bruno, the new wonder dog, and he had to have a little surgery, and now he's got the cone of shame on. And
cone of shame.
It is. He just looks up at me going, why do I have to wear this cone? And he is, you know, like, oh, keep the dog, you know, calm and don't let it. He's jumping around like there's no, let's go. And he runs through runs through the door and the cone is, you know, obviously wider than his head. And he hits the door like he wheels around and it just keeps going. Right. They should give this dog the ball and he should play for the Bears. No one would catch him. just keeps going. Keeps his legs moving.
How did you get the cone on him? I cannot get the cone on my dog.
Well, I didn't. The vet did.
Okay.
So when he came home, he has it's a clear, I'm looking at him right now. He's got a clear cone. And the look on his face is like, what is going on? What is going on? He's like, I can't believe it. And I want to take the stupid thing off of him, but they're like, oh, 10 days. I go, 10 days?
Ooh. How many days has it been?
He had his little procedure on Tuesday. So,
they're coming up, sort of.
Yeah, right.
On halfway home, yeah.
Mary Beth's like, he'll just forget about the whole thing. I go, yeah, but the guilt. I mean, this particular dog, Lindsay, you've experienced this. He makes such eye contact with you. It's like he's looking. It's you know how, I don't know. I know, Lindsay, you think that you were alive before. Like, you're a big reincarnation person. Right, she thinks she was like some woman in the South, like at some plantation.
I was.
Right,
yeah,
past life thing. I'm convinced that Bruno was a person and he's now a dog, or she. Well, he is a dog, and now he's a dog, and he's looking at me, going, "If I could only tell you what's on my mind right now." Right? And now he's got this cone thing, and he looks at me. He's like, "If I could only tell you what's on my mind," and I know it's like if he had a middle finger, he'd be showing it to me.
Yeah.
Right? He's like, "What is going on?" Poor and he's trying to get it off, you know. Poor guy.
I can see it. Like, I can cone flipping around in the back.
Oh, my God.
There.
It just, and then, like, what's so funny is, like, when you walk a dog, especially a puppy, because, you know, imagine that. Well, you, Andy, know it.
Mm-hmm.
They come up and they go to smell something, and he puts his head down, and you hear the thing go, and it's like the cone is completely on the ground so he can sniff whatever it is. You know what I mean? Like, he's a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, our guy's a little bit of, he's got a little hound in him too. So he's got the nose buried toward even the concrete at times. And that would not go well.
Yeah, poor guy. That is funny. All right, poor Bruno.
He'll be fine.
Silencio, Bruno. Anyway. 877-213-4-LOU. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. Let's get back to the phone calls. This is Elizabeth in Chicago. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Lou. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning.
Oh, great. Yeah, I have a question. I just moved into an older building. It was built probably in the early 60s, I think. But it has radiant heat. And I have, I looked that up, and I have these, like a heavy buffet. I've got a dresser. I've got bookshelves that are flat to the floor. And now, and there's boxes all over. And I turned the heat on last night, and I thought, oh, my God, I don't know if, you know, I don't know where the sensors are. I don't know. I mean, should I be worried about this, or should I? What do you think?
No. I mean, the radiant heat. So when you say it's flat to the ground, they're not even elevated up with a little something, or no?
No, there's no. The buffet is flat, and then I have a big in the bedroom that's just flat to the floor. It's an Art Deco kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm wondering.
And you keep well, let me ask you this: and you keep those items against the walls, correct?
Yes, they are against the walls.
And what is the flooring?
It looks like some kind of laminate or something. It's a fake wood. Something.
On top of it.
It looks like wood, but yeah. It probably is laminate.
I mean, you're fine to put it on there. It's not a big deal. It's not, you know, it's not a wet heat. It's just a heat. It's a warmth, right, that permeates up through there. And you probably won't have any issue. If the buffet in particular is completely flat, maybe what I would do is, you know how you can buy those rubber leg stands like that you would put underneath a piano, you know, with the wheels of a piano or something like that? They're square. They're rubber. They got a little lip on it, and they're probably, I don't know, 3/8 of an inch thick. You can get them at the hardware store. I want you to buy four of them where the buffet is and lift one side of it, slide two of them under, and then go to the other side of the buffet and slide two of those under there, and just elevate it up 3/8 of an inch. Visually, it will look fine. It will protect. I think you'll be fine anyway, but if it's something that is a concern to you, then that's what I would do.
Well, you know, I had read that it could wreck the floor, and then if you don't know, I mean, I Googled it.
Right, right. Everything's true on the internet.
Well, I read up if you put something over the sensor that it screws up, it like underneath whatever.
There's no sensor. There's a thermostat. That's it. The thermostat is what's guiding the radiant heat. You're going to love living in a home with radiant heat. It is.
Oh, yeah, my cat. I love it, too.
Yeah, it's very consistent.
Great. But what should I? I mean, it said on the internet 2 to 3 inches underneath a heavy item, and I thought.
No.
That's going to be a lot to put on these big, heavy things,
Go grab the square rubber chair pads that you lift up and then just slide it underneath both sides and you're done.
Chair pads. Okay.
Yep.
Rubber. Okay. Well, that's interesting to know. So if it's against the wall, that would be less of a problem then.
Because the coiling, because the radiant heat, you know, it goes up against the wall, but it probably isn't as tight there. So right against the wall, it's not as warm, but you're fine. You're fine leaving it on the ground, too. That doesn't worry me. But if you wanted to elevate it up just a little bit to get a little airflow under there, what it will do is it'll make that more efficient because right now with the buffet over the radiant heat, it's going to absorb all the heat right there, what it's sitting on. If you elevate it, you'll almost probably feel a little draft of warm air coming from underneath it. You'll almost create a Venturi situation where it'll feel like a radiator blowing air.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you so much. I appreciate that information. I was wondering last night if I was burning my house down or something.
You'll be fine. Don't worry. Thank you so much for the phone call. Hey, guess what? It's time now to hear from Lindsay about what's new over at Builder Supply Outlet. 877-213-4LOU is our phone number. This is Drew in Chicago. Good morning, Drew.
Hey, what's up, Lou, man? How you doing?
Good. What's going on?
So, questions I've got, like two wasps, like one wasp in the ground, you know, outside my front porch, and then I got another wasp nest above my, above my porch, an awning type thing.
Okay.
And I talked to my brother, and he, you know, he had like working come out, but they just sprayed and they came back. So I'm just looking to do the right thing. And see if you have any suggestions on, you know, how to take care of those wasps.
They're pretty
active right now.
Yeah. This now, as the weather starts to cool, they're trying to find a warm spot, and you do want to eliminate them as quickly as possible. You're going to use the same product, but you have to use it 3 days in a row. So go to the hardware store, home center, and buy 3, maybe even 4 bottles of foaming wasp spray or foaming hornet spray, okay?
All right.
And in both of those areas, you're going to take the spray and you're going to best to do it in the evening when they're in there and not during the day. And hold it for 5 seconds right where you have to spray. And you got to be brave. You got to hold it there and count to 5 and then run away and do that at both levels. Then tomorrow, do the same thing. And then Monday, do the same thing. The foam will expand. It will envelop the nest, and it'll kill the hornets on contact, but it'll also envelop the material of the nests. But you need to do it 3 days in a row to eliminate it. And all you got to do is buy, you know, when you shoot this stuff, it shoots 20 feet, but it empties the can pretty quickly. You'll be amazed at how much you go through. With 2 nests, 4 cans should be enough.
All right. Is there like a pest control you can recommend in Chicago that comes out and does it? Like,
I mean, if you want to hire somebody, one of the oldest pest companies in the Chicagoland area is called Rose Pest Control. They can certainly do that if you're looking for professional help. You'll just have to Google the phone number to find them. But they've been around a very long time. Gosh, I've used them for years and years ago on different projects, and they'll definitely do a nice job for you. Thanks so much for the phone call. Let's talk to Patrick. Patrick, who's in Winnetka. Hi, Pat. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. I've got a problem for you. I've got a powder room sink that when I turn on the water, after about 10 seconds, I get a strong odor from the drain that only lasts about 5 or 10 seconds and then goes away. I have tried baking soda with vinegar. Mm-hmm. I've tried boiling the vinegar and baking soda. I've tried enzyme sticks. I had the building maintenance manager rot it out, and I can't get rid of the odor.
Okay.
It only lasts a short time.
Want you to take off the pop-up. Okay, do you know how to do that?
I do.
Okay, then I want you to take a tube brush. So you need a brush that's like a, it's a Rubbermaid makes one. It's got a black handle. It's yellow on the end. It kind of comes to a point.
Called a tube brush?
T-U-B as in boy, E, tube. Tube brush.
Okay.
You're in Winnetka, so no hardware store in Winnetka. I always wanted to put a hardware store in Winnetka. There used to be one years ago downtown.
But we've got a good one in Wilmette.
Yeah, there's a good one in Wilmette. So go there and get a tube brush. And
okay.
And then I want you to stick the brush inside there and pour a little bit of Pine Sol over the brush.
Pine Sol.
Pine
Sol.
And you're going to scrub. The odor, Patrick, is coming from the side walls of the drain above the trap.
Got it.
And you're going to scrub that, and you're going to see as you pull it out, it's going to be not looking so good, and it's that's where all that odor's coming from. And then when you pull the pop-up out, that may look a little discolored. Clean that as well with the Pine Sol. Put it all back together and never call this show again. No, and we put it all back together. Put it all back together, and I think you'll solve the problem.
Terrific. Lou, that's good advice. I appreciate it.
All right. Be well, sir. I appreciate you calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 877-2134. Lou, Lindsay mentioned it, that we're having a conversation with the folks over at the International House Hardware Show that was canceled last year and came back again. It's a trade show, but all these vendors, one of the things that I'm not attending the show this year, but One of the things that I love going to that show in particular is all these new inventors, these people that have created something. It's their baby, right? And I have met some amazing people that have just come up with the coolest idea, which a lot of times we talk about on this show to try and bring that to you, because there's nothing that I love more than to try and use the 50,000 watt blowtorch that is WGN Radio to help a new business out. And we're going to learn a lot about what's going on out at the International Houseware Show after this report of WGN Radio News. A lot of trade shows were canceled over the last year and a half or so, but we're slowly crawling our way back and getting people together. And I am one that, you know, believes that, you know, when we can pull people together and as safely as possible and share ideas, good things happen. That's what's happening with the National Hardware Show, which is typically an industry event, but we're going to get a little bit of a sneak peek. Joining me on the phone line is Beth Kasson, who is the event vice president for the National Hardware Show. Beth, good morning. Welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Thanks so much for having me, Lou. How are you?
I am doing great, and I have to imagine that you and your team are excited to get this show back, correct?
Yes, we could not be more excited to be getting back to business face-to-face. It's been, we counted, almost 900 days of the industry together. And so it's shaping up. We're really excited, and we are in the final countdown.
That's awesome. Where, now,
28 days away.
Where is the show going to take place?
Our show is in Las Vegas. It's been in Las Vegas for a number of years. Prior to that, it was in Chicago and New York.
But right.
We're actually celebrating our 75th edition this year as well.
That's great. Now, typically this show, I've had the pleasure of attending myself, you know, as a media representative. And then also, you know, my wife and I own a couple hardware stores as well. So the general public is not there, but you've got quite a few of the brands and the vendors and the makers that many consumers know.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you think about our show, it's basically a B2B version of, you know, if you were to go to a home improvement center, you'd see all the products that you can buy there on the trade show floor. And then that home improvement center that that we would typically buy from is who is attending. So, yeah, we have quite a few great names supporting the business. You know, Stanley is there. Traeger is there. Pit Boss, MTD, Midwest, Westinghouse. And a lot of good names that'll be present on the floor. And we're super excited to be serving them again.
One of my favorite parts of the show, it's always the first place that I go, are these new inventors, or the area where, you know, certainly you talk about those big brands and they have such a presence and such an influence on the types of products that we use. But the National Hardware Show has always been one that is kind of helpful to the little person that has a great new idea, and it's a place for them to showcase it in front of some of those larger retailers and or manufacturers, right?
Yeah, you're 1,000,000% correct. And we actually have just about 100 inventors signed up this year, which is almost a same size as it was pre-pandemic. So a lot of companies eager to get out there, get in front of retailers because they haven't had the opportunity. So very excited for them. We're doing 40 different panels on site. So we'll have various audiences judging which inventions are going to be the next ones to go to market.
Right.
So we'll be doing some post-show sharing of all of that online on our website as well, so people can tap in and watch.
I mean, I think that, you know, I've had the opportunity to walk through and talk to some of those inventors, and you know, for so many of them, they put their, you know, everything they have into these ideas, and, you know, there are really a collection of really good ideas that, you know, many everyday items that we have now all started somewhere, and it wasn't just done by some giant corporation that came up with the idea. It's like some small person, small in height, but, you know, in their garage or in their basement or in a back room, creating some solution to a problem. And I've always been super pleased that the National Hardware Show has been such a supporter of that.
Yeah, thank you. And you bring up a good point. I mean, that's one of the main drivers for the show is new product discovery and finding things that aren't on the market so they can be brought to consumers. We have in addition to all of the inventors, there's also, I want to say, close to about 250 new products being displayed at the show, new exhibitors as well. So these are all things that haven't been to the market or have been kind of refreshed and reinvented during all of this. And so that's going to be pretty cool to see. We're actually changing up how we display. We're launching a new platform within the show called Habitat, and that is all about the changes that have happened throughout the pandemic and now what consumers are really focused on. You know, what's important to them? Is it products that help them be more self-sufficient? Is it products that are great for wellness at home? And we've picked five different themes this year, and we actually curated a selection of product that we are going to showcase and announce at the show. And hopefully that will get into stores and people will be able to go buy them.
I have to imagine, even though, you know, the average consumer obviously can't come into the show, but you probably have a pretty active social media presence where you'll be showing or featuring or posting where the everyday consumer, if they were super curious about what's going on, might be able to follow you folks to learn more, right?
Yep, absolutely. So we have a hashtag, NHS show. So anything we have is associated with that. We also have a website, the National Hardware Show. And this year we're bringing in influencers to actually come to the show and activate by doing some fun things. So we've got Jimmy DiResta and Izzy Swan coming to the show, and they'll be making some improvements to a 1949 motorized wagon on site.
That's cool.
Working with a group called Make 48 to do that. And then working with Ukiah, who has a really cool product for outdoor, it's like outdoor fire pits that when you play music, you can Bluetooth it and the flames and stuff move with the with the beat of the music. It's very
awesome.
Fun. And he's working with us to put together a grilling competition with six different chefs that will be doing a contest on site. And then Traeger and Pit Boss are also going to take the stage and have their chefs on site cooking. So there's some really fun things that will be able to be followed. We'll be using that hashtag, and they'll be using that hashtag. And I think it's a great way for
consumers to get
a little sneak peek.
Give us the hashtag and the website one more time.
Sure. It's NHS show, and the website is thenationalhardwareshow.com.
Beth Kasson is the event vice president of the National Hardware Show that is going to be launching in just a few days. Congratulations on getting that show up and running again. And I wish you guys continued success. And I'm sure lots of people are going to be excited to be there.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much. I hope to talk to you soon about it and hope to see you out there.
You got it. You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
Hi, Lou. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question about epoxy coating for sewer pipes. I live in a 94-year-old Chicago bungalow.
Okay.
And we had the plumbers out twice this week for a blocked sewer line. And they said one issue was tree roots, and the second issue was that our sewer line underneath the house has sunk lower than the sewer line running from the house out to the street. And he suggested digging up the basement floor and replacing the sewer line, which I really don't want to do. And the second suggestion was an epoxy lining.
Well, okay, the thing is, the sleeve, the lining that they talk about is fine if the sewer line is sound, meaning that it's straight and maybe has some roots and things like that. But if it's sunk where you've got a separation, kind of like a, you know, like an old horse where the back is, you know, down low type of thing, you know, that's not going to help you. That'd be a waste of your money. And so that area where they say it's dropped down, is that in the house or out in the yard?
It's underneath the house, and it is intact. There's no cracks. There's no separation.
But water is pooling.
But the water is pooling in that section.
Okay,
yes.
So then if I go to pay to put the liner on, the water's still going to pool there.
Yes, that was my thought.
Right. So let me ask you this. What's the grand plan for this house?
Well, I imagine we'll be here for several more years.
Five?
Oh, yeah, probably. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I know there's no guarantees in life, but you'd be throwing good money at a bad fix if you do the liner. If it were me,
okay,
I would break up the floor, replace the sewer line, put the floor back down. I know it's not what you want to do, but I also think that it's the type of thing that you should get several bids on, right? Because stuff's all over the place, pricing wise. So you've got what part of Chicago are you in? North, south?
Northwest side.
Okay. So, you know, there's a bunch of different contractors that you can contact up that way. One is the plumbers911.com, which is a collection of really talented, highly trained plumbing outfits throughout the Chicagoland area. And I would definitely find somebody that works up in that area through that website to come out and give you a bid. PermaSeal Basement Systems offers plumbing services with licensed plumbers that could help you with this problem. I would get a bid from them and put that against what the other person is telling you, you know, so you at least have three prices to kind of compare on the thing. But the liner to me is putting a liner in the sewer that's still going to pool water makes no sense.
Okay. Okay, that answers my question. Thank you very much.
Have a great day. Appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4-LOU. This is Tom, who's in Bartlett. Hey, Tom, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hey, Lou, how you doing?
Doing great.
I got a quick one for you. My daughter lives in Ukrainian Village in the city, and they just moved into a new condo. They've got a Kohler shower valve that needs service. But she's having a hard time getting a hold of a plumber to get her scheduled. Would you have a recommendation on someone we could call?
She's in Ukrainian Village.
Yeah, it's like Armitage.
Yeah, no, no, I know where it is. Who's going to be somewhere you can get there to? What is it? Just is it leaking, or what's the story?
I think the shower valve just needs a new cartridge.
Okay. Well, I just mentioned PermaSeal Plumbing Services. They would be somebody that you could definitely call. And PermaSeal has a whole plumbing division, and they do and they do that. You might have a pretty good chance of getting them scheduled. I know that they're busy, very busy, but they could definitely be something like that. If your daughter can take a picture of the valve, maybe they can bring a valve with them if that's what it is, you know, type of thing. Or they may run to a supply house and get what they need as well. But that would certainly be one. I mentioned plumbers911.com, which is it's a clearinghouse for a bunch of licensed plumbers in the Chicagoland area. That's another one that you could contact.
All right, I think that'll help. That gives me two to go after. Thank you.
You got it. Appreciate you calling this morning. Real quick before we take another break, I saw this thing in, you know, the Ring camera and the Ring doorbells and stuff like that people use, which I think it's probably one of the easiest interfaces of a security system. At our home in Wisconsin, we use that as the alarm system and the camera system, and it's kind of the deal of the century. Of course, Amazon's taking over the whole world. And you and I, Lindsay, we were friends with the owner before he sold it for $1 billion, remember? Remember? He was, what was the guy's name? Do you remember him?
Jamie.
You had his direct line, and his people used to get very mad at you when you would just
call him. It actually wasn't Jamie. It was his people that frustrated me.
Oh, yeah, no, Jamie loved you, and he loved us. But then he sold the company to Amazon for like $1 billion. They just came out with the smartest idea for contractors. It is a portable Ring security and camera system for construction sites. And so basically they have put together a system that comes in a good sized toolbox. And you put this all together. And like, if you're working on a house or a remodeling project, you can put up wireless cameras and it all works on cellular technology. And so if you have electricity, It's great. You can plug it in, but if not, it's battery operated. So when you're on the job site, you may have to charge everything, but you'll have battery power overnight, which is what you're worried about. It just becomes kind of part of your day. But then the alarm system itself is connected to a monitoring station that your job site is now secured, and you can bring it there and set it all up. It is so smart. The Ring system that I use in Wisconsin has cellular backup, so it runs off the internet, but if the internet goes down, it uses cell technology, and I believe the camera runs, or the security part of it goes for 10 hours on battery. So maybe with the construction one, it goes even longer. You know, right. You get done with work at 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock, and then overnight you got this thing. So smart. Ring Job Site Security, I think it's called. I thought it was a really, really neat item. 877-2134. Luke, quick break, and we'll be right back. Just to be in the background, like you're in front of this amazing woman that can sing like no one else, and you're just going, who? And you're going, hoop. Yes, it was. Right?
That would be fun. I've always thought about that for the you can't always get what you want for the Rolling Stones. Like, I'd always wanted to be the backup for that, like in the whole like choral, you can't always.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I've always wanted to do
that. Yeah. Uh-huh. Andy takes a
who's
low
with
part.
Me?
Andy would have been like who the Oak Ridge Boys. He would have been the guy that would be at the bottom.
Actually, right? I wanted to be the backup singer on Whitney Houston's I Want to Dance with Someone when she went. All they did was go, dance. I think I could probably handle that.
Yeah, that's a good
one. I know, Andy, you've got a special person in your life, but you could use that as a pickup line. Have you ever heard the Whitney Houston song? Yeah, that was me.
Yeah, that was me.
Dance.
I can prove it, too. Dance.
I can prove it, too.
Wow, it's really him.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, I need help from all three of you this morning.
Okay.
Great.
Along with it being your wedding anniversary, how many years have you and the... Mr. Smithwick been married?
11 today.
11. Wow. That's amazing. I have something for you.
It is amazing.
Marriage. Marriage is what brings us together today. Marriage, that blessed arrangement, that dream within a dream.
That's not proud, man. That's your crown!
This is from The Princess Bride.
True love will follow you forever.
That's you, marriage. That's you. Happy marriage. Happy marriage.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That is a great movie.
That is a great movie from The Princess Bride. But on your wedding anniversary, prior to it being your wedding anniversary, my wonderful father-in-law, Hank Jaskowiak, is turning 89 years old today.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Awesome.
That is awesome.
He's awesome. So he has 14 grandchildren, of which four of them belong to Mary Beth and I. And he is just the best person ever. Like, I look at him, like, when I think about when I'm going to be a grandfather, that is the person I'm emulating.
Yeah.
He's just awesome.
Absolutely.
And I've just been, you know, one of his son-in-laws, and I know I speak for his entire family, how much we love him and wish him the best, happiest of birthdays, and just looking forward to many more. 89 looks really good on this guy. Hmm. So, Henry.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
And he's great at math.
He's really good at math. Although, you know, he's a former math teacher, Chicago Public School teacher, math teacher, and I built a new set of stairs on his back porch, which Mike and I built his room addition in the back porch almost 30 years ago, and so he made a warranty claim on the stairs. And so he made a warranty claim, and we have a lifetime warranty guarantee. So I went over there in the rain maybe a couple weeks ago, built it out of redwood, the wood of 100 years, right? So it'll last forever. And we got to the railings, and I said, all right, Henry, I got to lay out the pickets now on the railing. I go, so I need you to do some math. You know, here's our distance and here's our distance. And I go, I want to start with this distance and I want it to be equal. Now, normally, in a short thing like this, Don or Andy, I would just kind of go, that looks good, that looks good, right? And when it was all done, it would look good. You know, you wouldn't, right. You know, you wouldn't know the difference. But I thought, this is perfect. He's the math teacher. So he goes, all right, what are my numbers? And then he goes inside the house. And about 30 minutes later, he comes out with a diagram and everything all spaced out. Like, you're going to start at this thing and, like, all the stuff that I would never have done, right? But when the last two were there, he's like, well, these two will be a little wider. I go, wait a minute. That's not what I sent you inside for. I go, okay, well, we'll just cheat a little bit. He goes, what do you mean you're going to cheat? I go, trust me, it's going to look great.
Oh, man.
And it ended up looking great.
Nice.
And they're good-looking stairs.
This is why we don't do the calculations. You know,
right, exactly. Right, right. It's better to look good than to feel good. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568 is our phone number. Oh, I just lost my line one. Did Jerry? Oh, he went somewhere? All right. 877-213-4LOU is the phone number. We are also going to, that's going to be our text line coming up a little bit later on. So if you have any questions that you'd like to ask us via text, we may do that coming up a little bit later on as well. What?
Really quick, you were getting a lot of text messages. Let's just get this out of the way. Can you talk about Fresh Cab really quick? Everyone wants to know what the Fresh Cab was.
So there was a couple of calls that came in today about keeping rodents away. And this is a rodent repellent that is a product called Fresh Cab, C-A-B. And it comes in a little box that you'll find at the hardware store. There's another product that's similar to it by Bonide called Mouse Magic. Same sort of concept. The original product was invented for farmers that would put it in the cab of their tractors that they would leave out in the field during harvest time or any kind of, you know, time you'd leave the tractor out there so that the field mice wouldn't get up inside the cab and eat the wires. They'd just throw it on the floor of the thing. They don't like the smell. It actually smells a little bit like Christmas. Like if I opened it up and you smelled it, you'd be like, oh, that smells pretty good. But for some reason, rodents don't like it. So these sachets that they come in, you just rip it open and you don't make a mess, but they're wrapped in plastic. When you do that, you'll immediately smell the odor, and which is, like I said, pleasant to you and I. And you place it in the case of, like, the gentleman had some classic cars that he was storing. Clip it inside the engine on some wires, and if you're keeping a car outside and this has been a problem, clip it so that it's low to the ground. So if a squirrel or some other rodent comes up, they kind of put their nose up, go, nah, I don't like that. I'm going to go somewhere else. It really does work. The odor on the sachets last about 30 days, so you need to replace it, but it really does work. And Fresh Cab, hardware stores, home centers. Then do you remember the name of the company, Healthy Something? There was a name.
I think it's Earthkind.
Earthkind.com maybe would be the website. You can check out all the different products. They sell a bunch of different all-natural products. I think it's either made in South Dakota or North Dakota or something like that.
Hello, Lou. I've been listening to you since probably Enzo the Wonder Dog was a puppy, I suppose.
Oh, I miss Enzo the Wonder Dog. Thank you. How may I help you, sir?
Well, getting ready to build a deck down here, about a 20 by 20 foot deck. And I'm trying to decide between, you know, composite and natural. I've kind of ruled out cedar because it's pretty expensive. Now, this is a covered deck, so it's not as critical, you know, that it's all weather, you know, maybe 10% of it will be outside, but I'm trying to decide if, you know, composite, do I go, is it Trex or TimberTech? And if I go natural, what would that be? And how do I maintain it?
Okay.
If I went natural.
You know, one of the things maybe about, you know, if we were talking about 6 weeks ago, lumber prices were, you know, through the roof, and they are starting to kind of taper off and even drop in many respects. And 6 weeks ago, I would have told you that the composite material was probably the same price as the lumber, you know, or pretty darn close. And I would have advised you to go with a composite just because of the low maintenance ability that the product has. Now, you know, from an expense standpoint, if you were to use, let's just say, and this would be my recommendation too, if you're going to use treated lumber, you want to go with what's called kiln dried cedar or treated lumber, because that those boards have been treated, they're dry, they're straight, and you're not going to kind of get the warping and the checking that you would from wet wood that's not dry.
Right.
You pay a little bit more, but trust me, it is way worth it in the long run, because of the quality of the material. Now, the one thing in Nashville, you know, you don't have the weather extremes, obviously, that we have in Chicago, so it's a little bit more forgiving. Your least expensive option today would be kiln-dried treated lumber, and then after, you know, that, within a couple of weeks, you could stain it if you wanted a color. You could certainly use a product that I really like called Penafin, which is a rosewood oil-based deck stain. And the fact that it's a covered porch, you probably wouldn't have to restain it for 5 to 7 years after that first initial stain. So you're in a really good spot from a standpoint of maintenance. Now, that being said, you go with a composite. My two favorite products that are out there are either Trex or the Azek product. And the Azek is a 100% PVC product that cuts and shapes, and you know, you can do all the things you can do with wood, and within the decking material that they make, you know, the color is all the way through. It's really, really nice stuff. It can get slick, you know, if it's wet or if it gets a little mildewy or moldy. You got to keep track of that. You know, it's not as non-slip as wood is because the fibers absorb it. But it's really nice stuff. Trex makes a couple of different lines within their product line. Their Enhance line is their sculpted product, meaning that it's really designed for square decks or, you know, rectangular decks. It's not anything you can curve or do anything with. The boards are all straight. Sort of, you know, like you mentioned TimberTech. TimberTech is the same thing. You can't bend it or shape it like that. It's a straight board. And then their higher end is what's called Transcends, which is a solid material that can be bent if that's what you want to do. But it's really up to you and how much money you want to spend. I think that if it were me and I was building a deck right now, I love wood and I use it a lot. I just mentioned that I just built some stairs out of redwood, that kind of stuff. But on a deck, if I was building from scratch, I probably would use some kind of composite just from a very low maintenance perspective. And back down in Nashville, I think you'd be super happy with that.
Excellent. That's really helpful.
Does that help?
Yeah.
All right. Thank when you get all done, Lindsay loves Nashville. She loves the music down there. So I would say that you can invite me down, but really she would rather go than me, and you could invite her down and come down to your deck, and then you can go see live music downtown. What's the street that they all the places around? What's the street down there?
Broadway.
There you go. All right. So mm-hmm. you know what? You'd much rather see her than me anyway, and probably makes the most sense.
You and me, Alan.
877-213-4-LOU. Let's get one quick call in here before we do news. Again, this is Lois, who's in Belvedere. Hi, Lois.
Hello. Hello, Lou.
How may I help you?
You keep cutting out on me.
You need to turn that radio down, my dear.
Oh, okay.
That's what's confusing you.
If that's all that's confusing me, it's wonderful. But let's see. Okay, got this. Remote here. I'll shut you off.
All right.
Okay. Okay.
Look at that. Yep. Better. How may I help you?
Well, I remember, I don't know how many years ago you were talking about the old pressure cookers.
Right.
And I had one that had taken to Iran and Ethiopia, and then now it's now in Colorado. My son-in-law is using it there. So, but my problem is, I I had a new roof put on, so you think this would have solved it. In the southwest corner of my bedroom, about 3 feet from the ceiling, when it rains, I get about a 2 foot wet spot coming down the corner. And then, of course, it dries up. Can't find where it's coming from. Who do I get?
When did you have this roof done?
Pardon?
What you said you had a new roof put on. When did you have this done?
When was it? Oh, in May. I'm going to take you off speaker. This is... Okay.
Oh, that's so much. That's so much better. So when did you have the roof done?
The roof was put on June.
Okay. And have we contacted the roofing contractor?
Oh yeah, he's been up there in there. There's no breaches inside.
Yet when it rains, you're getting water.
Yeah, they're somewhere. And he went up there and he found, you know, different places that on the outside were maybe an old drain system, you know,
right.
Gutters.
Well,
so he caulked everything he saw. And then my son came and he looked, he says, well, none of that's going to go anywhere. He's got so much caulk on it, but it still comes back.
Okay, well, we need to stay on this roofer because the leak, it obviously, the way you're describing it, it has to be some type of flashing or roofing leak. If it only happens when it's raining, then we have to stay on this roofing contractor to figure out what's going on. And if they have to get up in the attic to find that out, that's what they have to do. You hang on a second because I need to take a break for news, and then I'll finish your call off the air. It's 9:32 in the morning. Time now for WGN Radio News. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Betty, who's in Burr Ridge. Hi, Betty.
Hey, this is, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm doing great. It's so nice to hear from you. How may I help you this morning?
Okay, I have a driveway. It's a blacktop type of driveway, and I need it coated desperately, but I just kind of miss the boat this summer. Is this too late to have something like that done?
No way. This is the perfect time to have it done because with the cooler temperatures and the lower sun, the asphalt ceiling dries more slowly, which means that it lasts so much longer. Actually, I mean, we have a blacktop driveway, and I haven't done it yet, and I'm hoping to do it in the next couple of weeks. And it's the, you know, make sure the, you know, if you're going to hire somebody to do that, and there's, you know, you really, I don't have a name of anybody for you, but I'm sure if you search it out in Burr Ridge area, you can find tons of people that'll come out and do it. They're going to clean the driveway, blow it off, you know, fill any cracks that are there, and then put a nice new coat on there right before winter. It's perfect. We just gotta plan it. You know, I mean, the weather is always iffy, but we just got to make sure it's not going to rain overnight.
Right. Okay. Now, one question. I remember a number of years ago, we had to actually have the driveway all, like, dug up and then have it, you know, kind of start from scratch.
Right.
I'm hoping that is not the case. How do you know if something like that has to be done or if I can just coat it?
Well, I mean, is it relatively flat?
Oh, yeah, it is flat, but it there's a lot of cracks in it.
Right, but is it when it rains, do you get, like, huge puddles everywhere?
No, I don't get puddles.
And are the cracks, you know, wider than a pencil?
No, I don't think so.
Then I think they could come in and fill those cracks and then coat the thing over the top of it, and it would look great.
Gotcha. Okay.
Not too late. I mean, you can, for anybody listening that's thinking about this, as long as we don't get a freeze overnight, this can be done in December. You know, typically those guys aren't around at that time of year, but if we get, you know, days in the 50s, which, you know, we've been known to get in December, and not a freeze overnight, you're good to go.
Terrific. Okay. Thank you so much. You are awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, Betty. I appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4LOU. This is Greta in Lake Zurich. Hi, yes. Greta.
Hi. Hi, Lou. I'm so hoping you can help me. Last night I discovered I have an island in my kitchen, and I moved in, it was in, and they have like a big wooden slab as the top.
Okay.
And last night I thought, oh my Lord, something leaked. And I looked, and tomatoes that were in a holder had gone bad, and all their juices leaked all over the counter in this one area. So I scrubbed it and scrubbed it with dish detergent. And this morning, the stains are still there, and mm-hmm. I was hoping you might have a miracle suggestion.
So is it a butcher block top?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And is it, like, there's really no finish on it, right?
No, I was told by the owner to put mineral oil like once a month.
Okay, so, you know, the thing is that with the you know, tomatoes have a little acidic feature to them, and so that coloring, that red coloring, is probably, if you win the dish soap in there, that should break it all up. But if it's still some discoloration, I want you to try a product. It makes no sense why this would work, but I want you to go to, hopefully, like a hardware store and buy this product called Superzilla.
I'm sorry, could you spell that for me?
Super, like Superman.
Super.
Superzilla, like Godzilla, but take away the God.
Z-I-L-L-A. Okay, Superzilla.
It is a lightweight oil and cleaner. So here's what I want you to do. Go today, go grab it, squirt some on this whole area, let it sit there for 15 minutes, and then take a little nylon scrub brush that you may have and work it around and scrub it a little bit and let it sit there a little bit longer, 10 minutes or so, and then use the dish soap and a sponge and wipe it all away. And I bet it'll neutralize that. Then what I want you to do...
excuse me, Lou. Okay, so I squirt it on the area, wait 15 minutes, then I scrub it with Dawn.
No, then you scrub it, and then scrub it again after 15 minutes.
What am I scrubbing it with?
A nylon brush that you have in the...
The nylon brush, but I don't add anything extra.
No, then after you... So this is what you're going to do. You're going to squirt it on, Greta, and you're going to wait 15...
Yeah, I got that down. Then I've got scrub with a nylon brush.
Then let's sit there for another 10 minutes after you do that.
All right.
Then take the dish soap and warm water and wipe it all up.
Okay. Now, it looks black almost where it's stained.
Try what I'm telling you, and I bet you'll get it all clean.
Okay. So then take the Dawn detergent, and scrub that. Do I rinse that off?
Correct. Rinse it. No, rinse it all off so that you're ready to go, and then the top is ready, and you're like, oh my gosh, it's magic. And then do the mineral oil once a month. And I'll tell you that a butcher block top every now and then, like after years, should be sanded. And you may want to talk to somebody about coming in and sanding it and getting it nice and smooth, and then a nice treatment of mineral oil over the top of that.
Okay, so do I call, like, a professional person to come in to sand it?
Yeah, like a handyman service or something like that. It's not, you know, this isn't a difficult thing to do. Or do you have anybody in your life that is looking for something to sand? Oh, that's what Nick Offerman's book is, I Can Sand Your Countertop, by Nick Offerman. That's the name of the book. No, that's not it. Sorry, Greta, I'm just going back. A handyman service or at the hardware store, somebody that you could say, hey, I just need somebody to come with a random orbit sander and sand my butcher block top down nice and smooth. And then you, Greta, are going to put another coat of mineral oil over the top, and it's going to, you know, not look brand new, but it's going to look a lot better.
Oh, this is wonderful. It's just so awful now. I knew you'd help me. Thank you. You made an announcement while I was waiting and said you should clean out your ice maker twice a year. I empty out all the ice
and clean that. Is that sufficient, or do I need to do something further?
Well, if you can, you know, there's a little tray in there, and if you can carefully clean out the little parts that make the ice and stuff, you know, just with a damp rag, that certainly will help as well. Just wipe down what you can see, and that absolutely will help you.
Okay, I thank you so very much.
Have a wonderful day. Appreciate you calling this morning. It's 9:50 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
Lou?
Yes, sir.
I have a railing that goes up four stairs in the back of our house, cement stairs, and the bottom is where it affixes to the cement stair is now broken off, rotted off. And I don't know where to turn to. Do I have to replace it with iron? And where would I find such iron?
It's an iron railing.
Yes.
Okay. They do make a repair plate or a repair foot for this very issue. So imagine if we imagine it. So it's rusted off right at the concrete, right?
Yes.
So let's say we cut half of an inch off of it up from the bottom. And this repair footing comes together like a clamshell on both sides. And you just need to know the size of that post, which is probably 1 inch by 1 inch or 3/4 by 3/4. And you bring it together, and there's four holes on the bottom that drill into the concrete. And then you through bolt through the post. It's a specialty item, and there's a company, an online company called King Architectural Metals. I believe it's called King, like Your Highness, Architectural Metals. King, or maybe King.
Spell that again, please.
Oh, boy. King, K-I-N-G, Architectural Metals or Steel, something like that. Lindsay's nodding her head. King Metals. Architectural Metals. And if you search, they have all these railing parts and different things that you can buy that will solve this problem. And you can either do it yourself, or if you buy the part, you can get a handyman service. You're in Glenview. So if you go over to that Glen, my friends over at that Glenview Ace, I bet they have a recommendation for you on somebody that could do it.
Great. What if we wanted to replace it?
The whole rail?
Yeah, it's about 6 feet, 7 feet.
Well, if you want to do that, there's a fabulous company that I've done business with for probably close to 30 years called Chicago's Finest Ironworks.
Oh, great.
They're actually in Lansing, Illinois, but they travel all around the place, and maybe you have to send them a picture just to make sure it, you know, works for them. But I have your phone number. You ready?
I am. Thank you.
708-895-4484. And if you meet one of the owners, Brian, he has the biggest hands. If you shake this man's hand, it's going to be like you're a little child when he shakes your hand. He's like Andre the Giant. He's not a big, huge, I mean, he's a big man, handsome fella. But he's got the biggest hands. I have big hands, and when I shake his hands, I'm like, thank you.
No way.
Don't hurt me. Right. You know I have giant hands. This guy, like, it's like his hand goes around my hand. It's incredible. He and his partner, John, are just top-notch people, and they do great work. So, yeah, I love those guys. So that'll work for you, sir.
Okay. Thank you so much for your help. I appreciate it.
Be well. I appreciate you calling this morning. We'll be right back.